there. Your helipad, your clouds, your light, you breathe as long as you go. Down the pipe, check into life, drowning in your pipe dream, pipe dream.
Here. Of course, I had some little bit of coffee from Starbucks to get me all juiced up here, but yeah, I actually had a healing yesterday, which I have a couple announcements to make specifically. On circle your calendar on the 26th, in 2 weeks from today, I'm going to have a special guest, Sun. I know people have listened to my past shows and telling you about coming on, there's about getting a healing session or checking it out. I'm having Sun on my show. She's a healer. She utilizes Reiki and as well as crystals. And she will be on my show on the 26th. And if you happen to be coming down to Las Vegas in the near future or are in Vegas, or she also does sessions like, I don't know how she did, but she does it, away. you can contact her at 702-405-8912, and you can check out her website, which is called at www.epichealing.com, and you can there's contact information and explains that, and of course on that show she will be explaining us about Reiki and how the healing. And I'm sure people have questions and wanting to know what's up with that. And by the way, the song I just had on my intro song was Pipe Dream with Denise Vasquez. And you guys all check her out. Google her. She also has a site at MySpace/Denise Vasquez. And if you want to check out and get her album, Frame of Mind, which I love that title too, gives you a sort of a frame or I'm about to go on one kind of discussion. And, oh, by the way, like I said, I did have healing yesterday. And sort of, like I said, I feel a little, giddy, I guess, or whatever, juiced up. But I also want to give out to my thoughts and prayers for a very special lady who's in Massachusetts who's recovering from some surgery. And I wish her the best and God bless her. And hope she, in God's speed, recovers very quickly indeed. And, oh, also I want to talk to tell everybody, if you have any questions or things, feel free to contact me at either at MySpace, /Andrew Fetter, or you can always go to my email address at flyingpigs@artlover.com. If you can check out my past shows or whatever, and go to there and check that out. And, of course, you can always check out my own website, which is andrewfetter.com, which is with my book, When the Angels Have Risen, which deals with a lot of issues that I'm actually about to discuss, the conspiracies they're about to get us, or, you know, other things. And actually, I have another book. That's why I also fill up around, because I have another book that's about to be released, actually the sequel to When the Angels Have Risen, called The Heretic, which actually is sort of ironic because there's a little piece of it I will talk to you in relations to the subject today, conspiracies. They're about to control you. Anyway, as I was saying, also, please do check out my blog site if at your convenience at andrew.myufo.com, and I have a lot of stuff on there too at your, whether it's politics, religion, spirituality, UFOs. These are all coming together at one place. Some people asked me the other day, huh? How does spirituality and politics get together? Wow, they certainly do. Which is what I'm going to get to today. Conspiracies. You know, it's so funny when people hear about conspiracies, they think of the connotation, people getting around a little room and they're going to get you and control you and do this to you. You know, it's funny because there are two kinds of conspiracies, groups of people getting together, trying to do something, activate something, start something. And people don't like good conspiracies, only heard them bad conspiracies. Well, you know, there's a, of course, it depends on where you stand on, what side of the fence you stand on, too. Because for everybody's good conspiracy, it might be somebody's bad conspiracies. And also, if you're walking toward the light, that might be something you might look at, something that's a conspiracy to being something more enlightened or something negative. You know, like, when this country was founded, there was a conspiracy of Masons getting together. And they got together and formed, you know, the political inoculus, the impetus to start a revolution in the United States. Well, it became the United States before it was the colonies. And sort of the same thing happened, funny, it was in France. A group of Masons got together and overthrew the King of France. And of course, there's also those, you know, in religious context, there's those conspiracies of, let's say, Buddha breaking away from, with his disciples, and breaking off from Hinduism and forming another religion, another way of thought. And then there might be the Einsteins and physics and sciences, conspiracies of change of thought. Or those of scientists behind not just relative theories, but into quantum physics. And of course, there's the other ones like Jesus getting together to make change with his disciples to bring back religion with from the heart and not from a building or through an organization. Oh, my God. Of course, who knows? A conspiracy can involve doing something good and then become negative, like the Catholic Church. So, there's different types of conspiracies. You know, it can be positive or negative. Conspiracy to help the environment. Conspiracy to mess up the environment. And also, conspiracies have different levels. People look at things one way and another way. And the problem is, a lot of people, you know, let me put it, one thing is, it would be sort of ignorant to deny that there are conspiracies. Just as well, it would be ignorant to assume that conspiracies have full control. in a lot of situations, like a facade of control without knowing all the facts. Because until you know all the true natures, the conspiracies, then you really wouldn't know what if there really was a conspiracy. And I guess conspiracies may be happening, but there might be a hyperbole of actions or results from certain actions that have nothing to do with the conspiracy. It'd be like, let me give you an example. I hope I'm not confusing people here. But it'd be like, I remember a professor when I studied at UC Davis and took statistics. But he made a remark, and it was sort of interesting. He said, the problem with people who look at things logically, they may not know the real impetus of something as a result of something else. In other words, for example, let's say the population of Los Angeles increased, and then all of a sudden in Cleveland, people smoked less cigarettes. Well, if you looked at it scientifically, it says, well, if we put more people into Los Angeles, people in Cleveland would smoke less cigarettes. But you can see there's no connection at all unless you look at the absolute details of the situation. And that's where I'm getting to. When you get to the details of the situations, then we come to realize what is really happening. And this is what happens when, like, there's even, like, you know, conspiracies or people who are conspiring who create the facade of a conspiracy that there's a conspiracy. And you heard, like, I remember South Park did a thing about 9/11, the conspiracy of 9/11 on top of 9/11, that there was a conspiracy to be a conspiracy. And they made a whole joke about it. But there was a parody to that. Because a lot of incidences, those who might be throwing out those ideas of conspiracies, they themselves may be a conspiracy. Just a question. And by the way, nothing is an absolute. I'm talking about, I want people to question things rather than taking things for granted. That is the real importance of what my conversation today is. I want people who are listening, or my future listeners, and by the way, I want to thank you all for listening, and future listeners to future listening, but to look at things in always questioning things with a question in mind, not take things for, be the cynic, be the skeptical person. Even when people say, no, there's absolutely no conspiracy, wait a second, let me look at all the facts. And that's why there's a, in fact, you know, there's a movie, I wish, I put it actually on my blog site, but it's called The Zeitgeist Movie. And I wish everybody, when they have a chance, to check it out. Because it does have a lot of, it gets into a lot of aspects of different situations that I think relate to, you know, what's happening today. And you can check it out. I think it's spelled Z-E-I-T-D-E-I-S-T. And you can probably Google it or go to YouTube, because I know it's on YouTube, and get the full version. Or you can go to their direct, I think it's .com, movie.com or whatever. But I do have it on my blog site, so you can always check it out from directly from there, too. And I have the full version on my website, on my blog site, rather. But they bring in three issues of conspiracies, and like, for example, how Christianity was, what we know as Christianity, and how that was can be and conspired, and, you know, with the Romans and Constantine. And then goes into other things such as 9/11. It goes into the banking system, which is actually really based upon a lot of issues of fact, which I will get into. But just check that out. It's very fascinating. And like, again, it's not to throw things to absolute, to question things and find on your own, you know. But there is also what really got me sort of gathering on this thing of conspiracies, because there's a lot of Goebbels, a lot of Hitlers. And why I mean that is the propagandists. There's a lot of people who will make up a lot of pure bullshit, just to put it frankly, about, you know, conspiracies of a people or situation or religion, organization or whatever, just for hate, being a hate monger, which has nothing to do with reality, you know. And they, a lot of, like, and I'll get back to a lot of conspiracies will even create the lies of conspiracies, and I don't even know if certain people will do that or are part of a conspiracy do that. I'm just saying that that is also a situation. And I'll give you one example, you know, like Hitler conspiring with, you know, how Goebbels and the Nazis conspired with praising out the hatred toward Jews and Zionism, saying that they're out to control and particles of Zion, and the Jews are just out there to control the world and control the beings. Woo-hoo. Yeah, right. Rockefeller, he's really Jewish, and so is the Morgans and Carnegies, and I mean, they pull out one person who happens to be Jewish, the Rothschilds, and they're the controllers. Well, there's a whole multitude of bankers, which I'll get into. I mean, there's players, and I'll get into, of all levels, of all different peoples, and you will be solely surprised who the players are in the intel. And having my own, which I will never get into, is about my own experiences when I lived in Israel, and I knew about a lot of situations that were going on. And there's different levels. They call them players, people in the other intelligence stuff that's happening. But people have no clue what's going on, which is another level. But anyway, there's like getting back to the conspiracies of hatred and so and not, and making up stuff. One person particularly pops into my mind that to me is an absolute, for me, somebody who's definitely walking down the dark path, full of hatred. I mean, he's basically just a Jew hater, is Jeff Renz. Bringing up Zionism when he has no clue what Zionism makes it like an organization. Again, here, particle Zion, you just replace Zionism to Judaism because they're one and the same. And saying they're out there control, it's the same thing, particle Zion, and da-da-da-da, Israel, and the Zionists, and they're influencing the you know, with AIPAC, and here's another BS of control. It's a facade of control because they're not the ones in control. They're a lot of puppets, but not control. And by the way, Zionism, I don't want to get it because this is back into my old, one of my old shows, is not a thing that happened just, and by the way, in the 1800s. It's something that started when the first time the Jews, by the way, Jew means from Judea, not just a religion, means like Greece, Greek, Italian, Italy, Mexican, Mexico, Jew, Judea. But the Jews that started off back in the days of Babylonia when they're kicked out of or pulled out of Judea into Babylon, and that's when the start of the first Zionism, the idea of coming back. And Zion, by the way, means is the hill, Har Zion, the hill of Zion in Jerusalem. And it's always been a Passover thing from more than 2,000 years. Next year in Jerusalem, I mean, we will emigrate back to Jerusalem. And it has to do, and I don't want to get all into this, but it'd be like the same thing would be like the Arapahoes and Cheyennes taking back Colorado, the Shoshones taking back, you know, part of California, Nevada, and then Mojaves, the Comanches, the Iroquois, the Lakota, and all the Native American Indians taking back their land. It would be almost like the basically what happened with the Jews coming back to Israel. And by the way, if you ever read the book Innocents Abroad by Mark Twain, you see that hardly anybody lived there. Jews moved in there, and I don't want to get on that whole thing again, but basically people talk about Zionism as something evil, negative, it's a bunch of bullshit, it's two peoples moving in there, fighting over whose land is theirs, and it's a whole religious thing. It has nothing to do with land, which, like I said, you know, and I will get into the subject of how some of the Middle East and how it was a conspiracy to be controlled and whatnot. And like I said, I don't want to rehash that because it's like rehashing Jew versus Muslim, Muslim versus Jew, and yada, yada, yada. But I want to really rehash that was pure bullshit. To equate Zionism with some control conspiracy crap. And Jeff Renz is pure bullshit. But if you want to look at somebody who brings up questions, and some of his thoughts are a little bit, maybe outlandish, a little bit different, maybe not as concrete, not all the things I would agree to, from my own experiences and own knowledge. You can check out the Prison Planet with Alex Jones, and he brings up a lot of things. I mean, he brings things that, questioning like 9/11, questioning the things that are controlled in our country, questioning the banking system, questioning, which is what I, and there's an emphasis why I'm going to get back to why questioning, because it has to do with the person's spirit, their own individuality. But the reason, what I want to get to, and I'm going to tell a brief story really quick, and actually it comes from my book that's coming out, in The Heretic. It's actually the historical event, and give you an idea of how a facade of a conspiracy, what you think is really happening isn't really happening, but there's something else going along helping it. And boy, that was a jump of words. And what I'm talking about is, like, I'll give you an example. And the famous thing, like I said, in my book, it's sort of weird when I thought about, God, what can I relate to a conspiracy? And I go, oh, my God, the death of King Philip. Well, King Philip, the father of Alexander the Great, and people know the story how he was killed. It was after, you know, he was killed and after having like a little mini parade in a theater, and it was a lot of situations happening, and I don't want to get into too much of the history of it, and just about enough knowledge to see what I'm trying to get to. It's basically, he was murdered by one of, in a public event, by one of his bodyguards, and his name was Pausanias, and who happened to, after he murdered King Philip, was dashing toward not one horse, but a group of horses, and then Attalus, who is turned to be, who is the uncle of the niece, who then became married King Philip, was raining down with him and a group of people, and they caught up to the assassin and murdered him and killed him. And lo and behold, everybody thought, oh my God, here's this guy. He's like the Oswald who killed the Kennedy. And then originally from history, they assumed that in the beginning, and if you read in history. And then they applied it thinking, well, maybe there's a conspiracy with Alexander's mom, Olympus, who was divorced subsequently by, King Philip. And so they thought maybe she was conspiring to kill Philip so that makes secure Alexander the throne. And though, even though Alexander is known to have reconciled his relationship after his father had married Cleopatra, by the way, that's her name, Cleopatra, who is the niece of Attalus. That was the facade. They thought that maybe there was conspiracy by Alexander's mom. It would make sense. So what I'm getting to is the facade of seeing things. You see somebody you think would have done it. Then you see somebody who actually did do it, the Oswald, who actually did. He ran to a group of horses. And lo and behold, we find out in the story of this, and which is what I'm trying to get to, is that the facade of what really happened became what the reality was that Attalus, the uncle of Cleopatra, who, by the way, had a little baby, who could possibly take the throne in place of Alexander if Alexander wasn't no longer living. And so they find out later on these group of horses were actually set up by Attalus and a couple others, and they were conspiring to allow Pausanias to kill, because they were their bodyguards and commanders surrounding King Philip, allowed him basically to kill him, and then stepped in afterwards, and immediately killed Pausanias to shut him up. God, it almost sounds like what happened with Oswald and Ruby. And then what they did was, you know, they were going to dust their aside, but couldn't do it because they tried to wanted to probably kill, which they found out later, kill out King Alexander, or soon to be King Alexander, thereby opening the door. So there was a conspiracy upon a conspiracy. It would be like Oswald killed Kennedy, and probably did, and then a group of people who are sitting down there, who may be CIA or whatever, behind the fence to make sure the job was well done. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it brings in questions of stuff that you would see, like whether it's 9/11, like, did they really allow terrorists to come here and, well, I doubt it. I don't think so. But maybe there might be a group that says, hey, you know what, let's help it along. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just bringing out questions. Because I've seen how the building was destroyed, how the Twin Towers fell. And there are subsequent other buildings that had nothing to do with the Twin Towers that somehow crashed and blew up. And there are statements by a few that said bombs blew up and the way that their cuttings along with some of the steel and, you know. And there's questions about the Pentagon. But it's a question. And it's not to be found outlandish by something to investigate and find out what the truth is. That's what you're supposed to do. And what, ironically, was what failed to happen in the 9/11 Commission failed to answer the questions. I mean, come on. I'm sure people don't even realize that we actually have in NORAD a situation where they can set out. They actually have a set team of jets to fly out if a lone hijacked airplane would crash in a couple buildings like on 9/11. And they're set up to handle that because they took that into account way back. And they had practice runs of different scenarios. But guess who was head of running NORAD at the time? Their exercises, Dick Cheney. Is that a coincidence? So there's just questions of mind of what conspiracies and things, and that's on the very low level of, I can say, possible conspiracies. Again, I say possible. You know, I mean, if you look at connections between our governments and how we set up things, I mean, you can look at how Saddam Hussein, how he came in power. He was actually in place in power by us because his predecessor was a pro-Soviet, pro-Russian, which gets into a whole other thing, which I'll tell you a whole game plan of the Middle East, and then you'll understand. But I also want to relate to you to check out even another conspiracy thing that people can question and look at for their own self-worth. Look at the Federal Reserve. You know, it's not publicly owned. It's not governmentally owned or controlled. It's owned. It's a private company. It's privately controlled by a select few bankers who actually loan money to our government. The Federal Reserve loans money to our government. It is not private. When you go and sign that little piece of paper saying that you're going to open a bank account, you're acknowledging that situation of the Federal Reserve because it is a private organization. And they actually took over manipulating. There's a whole story about that, and you can even see in the movie, which is based upon pure fact, that how the Morgans and they manipulated the banking systems to fall back in the turn of the century, and how they came in and with Rockefellers and whatnot, and they helped take over made the Federal Reserve become the banking system that we have now. So there's a lot of conspiracies of things happening. But I do want you, people, to check out a couple words, and they can Google at their own leisure. The Bilderbergs, the Trilateral Commissions, who are not really the Illuminatis. That was a name that people threw upon them, basically to, like I said, a conspiracy, found a lie about another conspiracy, to displace people's eyes and move them not on the real situation, but on another situation, like saying, hey, it's the Masons who are involved. Oh, my God. Now, there might be a few selected Masons, and I don't know how many, who belong to the Bilderbergs, the Trilateral Commissions, Council of Foreign Affairs. And people went, what are those people? Well, these organizations, I'm just mentioning a few, Bilderbergs were formed way back in the turn of the century. And there's actually was a split. There was actually a European side and an American side, which, by the way, created the confrontation in Europe, which became World War II, part of it. But have their own agendas. And they do try, you know, there are conspiracies who try to control things. And that's a truth. They, you know, they're like want to make things their way, whether it's even, like I said, positive or negative, to open people's eyes toward the environment, global warming. or making people aware that there are UFOs, or not to, that, or to stifle people's thoughts in their own levels and make them dumber. And there's that side, too, to make people more ignorant. I mean, there's two sides, like in everything, but... But there is definitely organizations that you'd be surprised. Like the Bilderbergs, for example, you would be surprised who is listed. Go ahead, you can check it out. Who's listed on their, who attends their meetings? The Clintons, the Edwards, the Obamas, even the Carters, the Vance, Cyrus Vance, all the liberals, and the neocons, the Wolfowitzes, and et cetera. And the Reagans and the Bakers. You'd be surprised how these people, who you think are enemies in the politics that you see, actually get together in this club. Now, what they do in this club, they form a policy. That's what they're doing. Not the, hey, buddy, let's, you know, have some strippers and, you know, whatever, right? It's not a Las Vegas scenario. They're not out there to talk politics and, I mean, talk, you know, having a good time and all that stuff. They're talking about serious policies that set certain agendas. And you'd be surprised who these people who belong to their organizations, Yasser Arafat, and then now, oh, God's mind needs good mind, the present Palestinian prime minister is a Bilderberg. Yitzhak Rabin was a Bilderberg. Arik Sharon wasn't, nor was Menachem Begin. And that's why they had problems with him. And now I'm going to get to you with the Bilderbergs. Who was there and how they funneled what happened in the Middle East, for example. You know, the Bilderbergs had a little control wanting to set up control of establishments right after the World War One was the first start, and that was the start when they initiated or tried to initiate the League of Nations to make a more of a global situation, like a global economy. Of course, the Bilderbergs on the other side of the Atlantic, the Americas didn't like that, and they have to be the Fords, the Rockefellers, even the Bushes. You'd be surprised. The Roosevelts, there were two sides. Definitely the Morgans. That didn't had their own agenda. So there was almost two places. And so what happened, that the League of Nations never became like today the United Nations. Well, what did formulate in the League of Nations was, I don't know if you know, but before the World War One, there was only one sovereign country, or supposed to be sovereign, but it was controlled by the Ottomans, was Egypt. But the whole area in the Middle East was basically a bunch of sheikdoms in control. And there was no Iraq, there was no Jordan, there was no Syria, no Lebanon, no Israel, definitely no Palestine, no Saudi Arabia, no Oman, no Yemen. There was nothing. There was an Iran. It was called Persia at the time. But there was this whole area was there was nothing of established countries. So when the Brits came in, who, by the way, there was an influence of how these policies were implemented by, like I said, the politics, they were formulated, they created Iraq, which they took a sheikh from Saudi Arabia or from the Arabia area, King Faisal, that created Iraq. Then the French was given Syria, which they then carved out Lebanon for the Christians to live in, the Christian enclave. The British were given what they call the Palestine Mandate, and that was under the Balfour Declaration, which the whole idea was, you know, we'll throw a carrot out for the Jews, say we'll let you have a country, you know, come back and live in Israel. Or Palestine at the time. But then what they did is they even cut that other part out to give it to another person who, by the way, became a Bilderberg, was King Abdullah, who was Sheik Abdullah. If you ever watched the movie Lawrence Arabia, that's true, but he was also, we don't want to get into his romantic situation with Lawrence Arabia, but he is from Arabia, and that formulated Jordan, who is the grandfather of today's King Abdullah II, who is a Bilderberg, and so was his father, King Hussein. Now, when Israel became established, there was the Soviets, who were the nemesis of the Bilderbergs. And guess who backed the Jews? The Israelis, or soon-to-be Israelis, the Soviets. So that was a whole new players. And who was against the Israelis and for the Arabs, because they had their own situation of oil coming straight from Iraq into what they call the Damascus Line that fed into, by the way, I forgot to mention, was the Haifa refineries in Haifa, and then boated straight to Europe. Really nice little thing they had going. Petroleum product, petroleum, you know, British petroleum products. But this was the game plan. But it all sort of screwed up because the Soviets backed the Jews in Israel. And if you look at it, check it out. They're going, the Stern Group, eventually even hung out, but all the arms and all the backing came from the Soviets. And there was actually a naval blockade by the United States government against Israel. The British had trained, formulated, and conspired with the Arabs to attack Israel, and that is a historical fact, because they didn't want this country to be to become a country, because they felt, you know, again, got to look at the players and the puppets. The Soviets on one side, and the Brits, and the U.S. on one side. And then in the 1950s, after Israel became a nation and won, of course, you know that story, there was a revolution within amongst the Arab countries where the Bilderbergs, who had control, like of Egypt, who was controlled by a king, who then was taken over by Nasser, who was aligned with the Soviets, and suddenly the players switched sides. Suddenly Israel became, you know, the player playing with the Brits and the French, and not even the U.S. yet, but still the same team. And then you can see how this situation continued. It became the Bilderbergs on one side, the U.S. and the, you know, Europeans or whatever, the European Bilderbergs against the Soviets. And that's where the thing scenario came down. Eventually you heard about Reagan. What were we going to do? Finally knock down the Soviet situation, which is go down in line of history. And you can check the sequences. But there's a pull, and you know, and I'm talking one-dimensionally here, but it is more multi-dimensional game. It's like a game of Risk on four different sides going on at the same time, basically. That's why it's so abstract. Because as soon as somebody thinks they got control, they want more control. And then those who are in control or think they're in control start wanting control from the other people. And then they split amongst each other. And this is like I said, there was also originally two sides. Well, I bet you didn't, people are not realize that half of the Bilderbergs in the United States were actually backers of the Nazis. Ford financed the Nazi Party, who was a Bilderberg. And he hated, by the way, Jews, because he looked at the Jews and them part of the Soviets, the other side. That's how he looked at it. That's why he looked at that situation. And then that's why he was so anti-Semitic. People probably don't forget that George Bush, his grandfather, was the banker that he was the middleman financer transferring of funds to the Nazi machine, which I think he got prosecuted for it. And then if you go into history, you can even look on it, that there was the Rockefellers, their own company and their banks also were playing on both sides, because they're financing on both sides. But they're also sending their chemicals and oil products to the Nazis during the war. So here's the oil for the United States, here's oil for the Nazis at the same time. So there was a game plan, and it was a lot had to do with people playing the game. And I know I'm going through a lot of mess of stuff. I just want people to question things. Don't think things for face value. I want you people to look at things and question things of what they really are. And when I said go check out the Bilderbergs and look them up, and you look up, you can go on my site, I have even a listing with our last meeting in Turkey, and you'll be amazed of the people who meet there. And their members are whites, blacks, Asians, Christians, Jews, Muslim, Buddhists. I mean, it's a collage of people. You'd be surprised. And you would be surprised of what the real situation scenarios are going on. I mean, somebody asked me, how come you don't think there's going to be a Palestinian state? Oh, I said, because the Bilderbergs don't want a Palestinian. They want the whole game, the whole thing that's going on right now, in fact, the Middle East, I'm going to tell you, you'll see, when there is peace, their whole peace plan with Israel, if you look at what it really is to form a Middle East union. That's their game plan, to put so much fear. What's the whole situation in Iran? The whole situation in Iran, which is definitely a problem, is to create so much fear amongst the Arabs on one side. Says, hell, you know what? We'll be friends with Israelis. We'll be friends with the Jews. They want that because that way they can finally get rid of that part and create the ME, the new Middle East Union. At one time, they are fearful of it because they feel that if they were together, they would be their competitor. But if they make an ME union, a Middle East Union, part of EU, the European Union, it'd be an overall collective, an overall collective situation. And that's what I'm trying to establish so people understand that it's more what's going on than what you think is really going on. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening. You'd be surprised the Clintons and the Bushes are part of the same team when they go and meet. You'd be surprised when you go the Council of Foreign Affairs, who goes and meets at those meetings. You will see both Madeleine Albright sitting on one side along with Baker and people on the other side, the Wuffers and the other people. You'd be surprised why people are so upset about World Trade Organization, because the World Trade Organization is not part of the UN, not part of anything, except for that was created with the Bilderbergs. And then there's the World Bank. What is the hell is a World Bank? The World Bank is made up of these same group of people. And they have their agendas. And now I'm getting to where the finality of what all these agendas are. But there is a situation that people really, you know, want a group to control. And there's obviously a side that doesn't want a conspiracy to counter that control. And like I said, there's good conspiracies as well as bad. And a good one, like I said before, you know, even like on BBS radio, there's a group of all these great hosts and the producer formulating people to get free thought and question things. Doesn't conspire to open people's minds, to build up their self-worthiness. Oh, that's where I'm heading to, self-worth. But that would be a good conspiracy. And there's a book, by the way, from one of my favorite authors, and I mentioned many, 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 many times, is The Sirens of Titan by Kurt Vonnegut. And this really lays on what I'm trying to get to eventually, which even though all these people, the Bilderbergs and the Trilaterals and, you know, and people who, you know, talk about, you know, whether one organization to another, who is really in control? If you read this book, it's so funny because the people in the book who think they're trying to control, and it's hard to get into the whole stories of within the Sirens of Titan, but the theme of the book is, you know, you have different levels of people trying. One girl who's a total control freak who tells the dude he's never going to marry her. Then there's a guy who flies around, goes from one like plane to another. He's caught in this plane, and he's trying to control things. Then there's a call in the book. There's the Mars, who's colonized with a colony of people, and they try controlling their populace by putting these little things in their heads that every time they have they don't comply, they push a buzz and it creates pain, thereby controlling them. So there's all these levels of controls of all these levels of people and people who think they're in control, and they're doing all these controls of you know, of controlling other people on top of other people. And lo and behold, the whole story of the book at the end, you find out that they're being manipulated by some alien, not aliens like human aliens, like you would think humanoid, but actually machine aliens that are stuck on another planet in our solar system who are trying to communicate to send over some parts. So they're manipulating Earth to send a signal, like build a wall, the Chinese wall, or create a war. And every time they tell them, that's a new part they need to get their spaceship fixed. And it's sort of satire, but suppose it was like this whole scenario. I mean, it is like, it's ridiculous. And the whole point I'm trying to get to, that control is an illusion. You cannot possibly think you can control things. Because when you get into the spiritual essence, the truth of the things, you can't control. Control is an illusion. And there are two sides trying to, you know, like I said, establish almost like I say a war in the spiritual realm, you know, like a dark side and a light side. And there's there's things going on that are actually countering each other, and they may be some manipulations of this and that. But who is the real puppet and who's the real puppeteer? Who's really in control? Do you think that these people here who are thinking they're in control are in control? Or maybe it's another side that there's a level of, now I'm getting into ETs, there might be even extraterrestrials, by the way, I put in my book, I show a possibility of this, where of the dark souls controlling one situation, light souls trying to recreate another situation of positive and negative. Do you think it's not a coincidence that all these young kids are indigos who are becoming enlightened, or this, and many around, things that happen around the world where people are opening their eyes up? In a way, that's a conspiracy. I wouldn't say control, but opening people's eyes. And on the dark side, they would utilize the utilization of fear, guilt, as a way of control. But again, that is an illusion. There's no such thing as control. Fear is an illusion. There's no real, that's a facade. Just as guilt is a facade. You create, it's a pushing button to create a reaction, but in reality, it's not a reality. It's only because the mind's been trained to think that's a reality. But when you get back to the spirit side, the truth, not the truthiness, but the real truthfulness, control is an illusion. And those who try to control, it's an illusion. So as long as people build up their self-worthiness and their vibrational levels, that's what, like I said, when you do like healings and generate your healings and, you know, increase your vibrational level so you have a more higher self-worthiness or self-esteem or self-love, that will only increase your open recognition of the situation of that there is the attempt of control. And once you know the magic trick, that's a magic trick, you know, longer, it's no longer a magic trick. I already talked about in the past shows about fear is an illusion. And you please do listen to that thing what I talked about, because I don't want to rehash it because that takes another hour to go. But that would, I'm trying to emphasize how those things are utilized. And it has to do with what the conspiracies are. Because when somebody places upon a conspiracy in a sense of fear, the fear of it, that in itself is a control factor. But if you place upon a conspiracy, just acknowledge that here somebody's trying to play a magic trick with you, that's a different thing. That's showing you, hey, they're playing a magic trick with you. Be aware of the magic trick. Once you're aware of the magic trick, you can't be, you know the scene, the trick behind it. You're no longer tricked by it. You realize it's a facade. And that's the same thing when somebody places fear, like, you know, why do we want 9/11 to place fear so they need to get us into a war? Or fear of Iraq, linking Iraq, which had nothing to do with terrorism, to thinking that it was fear. A great hatred toward other people. I hate the Jew, or I hate the Muslim, or I hate the Christian, or I hate the Buddhist, or I hate the atheist, or I hate the... are just simply hate, another way of control, another lie, another usage of fabricating dark energy, walking toward the dark to establish, again, control, again, which is a facade. And people just need to open their eyes and open their hearts and open their ears and not be walking on naivety either about situations. You know, there are things negative. There are people who really seriously do not like you because that's how they were trained and in the course of time, or maybe they've also chosen that way as well. Of course, people can change in any direction. A person can be walking toward the light and turn around and walk toward the light. If this planet would change its vibrational level to a different establishment, things will change. It's awareness. First comes the awareness of it. And you just don't think that there's extraterrestrials of the light watching things, situations that's going on this planet at this very moment? Hell yeah. And you don't think there's not a contact, first contact? Yes. In fact, one friend, a guy who he's one of the co-hosts on there, James Gilead, go to his eddie.org and check out his tape. Those are real. ET visitations, those are real. And there are ETs who definitely want to bring enlightened situations on our planet. And there are situations trying to elevate that as well as people trying to curtail that. And people who are going to make fun of all the extraterrestrials, UFOs, they're just wacky. Who's making people fearing what is real? There are ETs on both sides. But right now, we have an opportunity to change our situation to a Illuminati, real Illuminati, illumination. And that's why people utilize the word Illuminati is bad, because they're placing a facade of Illuminati as negative, which is really a lie. It's a fear. It's a trick. Because if we were Illuminati, we'd be illuminated. It's like a play of words. They're making you think what was bad is really good, and what is good is really bad. It's a trick. It's like throwing the game saying it's the Masons. People knew what really Masons are. Freemasons are the unification of all people. If you know what their standard principles of belief, they do believe that, you know, be a Mason, you have to believe in God. But you can be a Muslim, Jew, Christian, Buddhist, as long as you believe in a universal God, that's how they look at it. And that you're a good person and you strive for humanity, that's a Mason. And they have their little functionaries and stuff. And by the way, that's what our country was founded upon, Masonry, which I already discussed on a prior show. But that's Illuminati. That was illumination, to function on reason, not be subdued by ignorance. You know, like Thomas Paine had once said. You know, people you obey by being ignorant. You open your mind with, and I'm paraphrasing because now I forget the saying, but with reason, your eyes are opened up. And use reason, logic, reason, but utilize your true nature, your true self, the true understanding of what's going around is within your heart, what you know. I mean, Jesus said, well, even within your heart, you'll like hear it and feel it. That's what he was referring to. Or whether Buddha was talking about the same situation. You know, your truth is in you, then you'll know that that stuff is real, what's controlling and what's not controlling. And then every time you walk into those patterns of fear, fear is just an illusion, like I said. And this control game by the conspiracies is, you know, utilizing the fear thing. But be aware. Check out the Bilderbergers and the trilateral commissions, and you'll be surprised. I mean, really, really surprised. People don't even remember when I talked to them that they didn't realize Arafat was a billionaire. He was one of the top 10 million richest people in the world. And why do you think he was not allowed, when the Israelis, I was in the 80s, during the Lebanese War, They had him surrounded, and they tell the Israelis, you let him go. Why do you think? Because he's part of their team. And when he became their team, right then and there, that's when everything changed. And it was not a coincidence that when we went into Iraq, all of a sudden there was a massive movement of peace agreement. Did you notice that? Right after 91, after you went into Iraq, and after the first thing with the Kuwaitis and all that stuff, all of a sudden the initiation of a peace agreement, the Madrid conferences, is it a coincidence? Is it not a coincidence? All of a sudden we went into Iraq again, and now there's a push for another movement of the Middle East Union. And look what's happening in Europe. I mean, in Asia with China, trying to get them on the same team. And they always play these all little levels of games because they're all one team. Of course, they have their own agendas on the same team. And it's a multi-game of risk. But again, those who think they're in control aren't in control. Because as on the spiritual side, that is what is really going on. The light and the dark. The two sides. So my bottom line is, to everybody who is listening, open your eyes, take things, what people are talking, including what I'm saying, and then reevaluate what is really happening in questioning. And by reevaluating these and questioning things, you are actually developing your own self-worth. Being a cynic to some extent is good, because then you're questioning. It's developing your own self-worth. I want to really know. Not what somebody tells you. That's your self-worth. Question. And open your eyes. And with that, I want to thank all the people out there who are listening to me. God, I must have went on and on with different tangents here. I tried to condense everything in once. But I wanted to show that there's definitely a spiritual side when all connecting with all things and the real sense of what conspiracies I could elaborate on. But I just want people to go out and check out on the internet and open their eyes up. And the main thing is develop your self-worthiness and self-esteem and self-love. Because as human souls, as our souls, as we establish and grow, things move forward, move toward the light, toward the better, to the illumination of what we really are or could be. And there's no limits to that. And you will see that when we hit toward 2012, that these vibrational levels will continue to grow. And we're on this wave of destiny that will, I think, for the betterment of humankind. And things are coming to a head. And I think there's a lot of people out there who might be fearful of maybe even what I'm saying, fearful of people talking on this station, people around the world talking of opening their eyes, people talking about healing themselves, people having self-worthiness. People say, hey, don't listen to churches, the mosques, the synagogues, the temples. Listen to your own self. Listen to your own heart. That's fear. There's people who are afraid of that. And think about who those people are. So again, I want to thank you all for listening to my rant here and my chatter, and do listen to my show on the 26th. I will definitely, I know you'll love that, my special guest. And I want to thank everybody again for listening to my show and all the future listeners and BBS Radio for having me host my show, When Pigs Fly. And do contact me if you have any questions regarding this or past shows. And with that, I say to y'all, God bless you all. And I close with, what else? The Masonic Temple's Devil Suitcase. Again, thank you. God bless you. Bye. Mm-hmm.